Hi everyone, and welcome to another episode of Living on Blockchain. Today we are speaking to Tommy. Tommy is the original contributor to PsyOptions. He was also a part of the team that won the Solana Serum DeFi hackathon. He brings over 10 years plus of experience in engineering, and he's been building on Solana since the early days. So right now, what started as PsyOptions is PsyFinance, because they are creating more DeFi products to help the end user get into the DeFi space and be a part of this particular revolution. So I can't wait for you guys to hear this. Let's deep dive right in.
Hi, Tommy. Thank you so much for making out the time to speak to me today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. So for our listeners, can you tell us a little about your background and how you got into Web3 and as an original contributor to sci-fi?
Yeah, so I'm an engineer by degree. I started studying electrical engineer.
Okay.
As an electrical engineer, and I found out hardware was not really as interesting to me and started switching to software. So I've been a software engineer for the last 10 years.
Okay.
And I got into Web3 in 2015, I started paying attention to the Ethereum ICO, but I was still in college at the time and didn't really have money, so I didn't participate. But then in late 2016, early 2017, when things started coming back with Bitcoin, Ethereum, and a lot of people building on top of Ethereum, started building some smart contracts in Solidity on top of Ethereum. And that was just more part-time, getting my feet wet. I still had a full-time job as an engineer in the Web2 space. But I always loved Web3, was just messing around and participating in hackathons. And after winning a hackathon in the Solana ecosystem in 2021, that's what pulled me full-time into Web3.
Wow. So that's quite an organic journey that you had there, that, you know, you were working as an engineer, and then, you know, you switched gears a little bit and Web3 fascinated you, and you won a hackathon in the Solana ecosystem. And is that how, you know, the sci-fi platform came into existence?
Yeah, that is actually. So we were, my twin brother and I were messing around on just building on top of Solana when they first went to mainnet in summer of 2020, late summer 2020. And we entered a hackathon, in the very first Solana hackathon ever, which was in November of 2020. And we built like an Oracle system, didn't place there. But shortly after that hackathon, we wanted to automate an options trading strategy in traditional finance. But okay, our brokerage wouldn't give us access, API access to our data and our accounts.
Right.
And so there was another Solana hackathon coming up, and we were like, why don't we just try building this into the blockchain on Solana? It'll be a fun project and we'll have API access built in. And we're, you know, just building this new options infrastructure. And that was really the genesis behind just building options into the blockchain. And then winning the hackathon is what actually turned it into a full-time job and a company and all that. We never set out to make money and start a company or launch a token, but one thing led to another. You win a hackathon, investors reach out, other people in the ecosystem reach out, and you kind of piece it together from there.
Right, absolutely. Then, you know, it kind of all of those doors open for you. And at that point, you and your brother started off with sci-fi.io.
Correct. It was originally PsyOptions.
Okay.
And PsyOptions.io, but we started over time. We've been building this stuff for over 3 years now, and so a lot has changed. We built a bunch of options infrastructure, from like American options to cash settled European options, and then, you know, options are very complex financial products,
right?
And so we started. We started moving into other areas of the financial system and added a borrow lending platform. And so people could just borrow and lend assets in an over collateralized manner, similar to Aave and whatnot. And so we started getting into other things outside of options. And so we rebranded from PsyOptions to PsyFi, because people just always associated with only options. And we wanted to eventually build outside of that.
Absolutely. You wanted to scale, right? That makes sense. So, in terms of just sort of the Solana ecosystem, what were the kind of reasons that you were attracted to it?
Yeah, I mean, there was just a lot of missing infrastructure. There still is. So, there was not many people building on Solana. I mean, when we originally started, Solana was just this kind of new blockchain that didn't have any traction, but that like quickly changed within a few months of us like building there. It was pretty crazy the trajectory on how many people were building on the ecosystem and how many developers there were. But so we thought we saw a lot of technological advancements with Solana, with the parallelization of transactions and the improved throughput that that provides the blockchain. And so that was the one of the key factors that drew us into Solana in the early days. And then there was other great organizations contributing and building on top of it. And so there was a group building an order book, there was people building automated market makers or AMMs,
Right.
and a bunch of other critical, blockchain applications that we saw had success in Ethereum. And so we saw a lot of these great teams and developers putting resources behind building on Solana, and that's what drew us in and built more conviction to continue building and make it more than just a side project.
Absolutely. So as of now, if you had to perhaps recommend an ecosystem for a builder to start on with, if they are, especially if they are building in the DeFi space, what would you recommend?
Oh, absolutely, Solana.
Yeah.
I've explored a lot of other ecosystems. Well, I also it probably depends on what they're building too. I would ask what they're building. There's a lot of pros, but there are some cons when you have this kind of monolithic shared resource. And so, depending on what you're building, that might dictate. But for most applications, the general answer is going to be Solana for me. I've explored a bunch of different blockchains and app chains and things like that. But most applications are perfectly like fit into Solana.
Right. As somebody who has, they recently there has been a creation of Armada, right? Which is, it's kind of gaining a lot of attention. Can you explain what that is and how it fits into the broader Solana ecosystem, like from your perspective?
Yeah, so as we built out SciFi and launched the Sci token and created a DAO and governance infrastructure on chain and contributed to general ecosystem governance infrastructure, we realized once you launch a token, there's so much work that has to be done to create the kind of tokenomics or governance or community participation in the ecosystem or your sub ecosystem, if you will, that it's a full-time job for a full engineering team and a full product team. And so that was kind of the genesis for Armada. And so Armada's goal is to take care of everything token related so teams can focus on their core products. And we do that with three main verticals. The
Okay.
first is token launching or token generation infrastructure. So a few different auction mechanisms for creating a new token and launching a new token and determining what the fair market price is based on the actual open public market for that. There's also airdropping infrastructure. So a lot of teams that are working on building point systems or need help building point systems can leverage that infrastructure to airdrop. And then the second piece is once you have a token, well, the next thing is people need to be able to buy or sell that token and get in and out of your community or increase their level of involvement in that community. And so then you need on-chain liquidity. So we have we built a product on top of Orca's Whirlpool called a concentrated liquidity market making vault, where community members can delegate their tokens to an institutional market maker, which will manage the liquidity on chain. And then we have another program that's actually should be coming out in Q1 called liquidity bonding that helps increase more liquidity and incentivize more community liquidity on an underlying token. And so like that second vertical is all about on-chain liquidity. And
Right.
then, and given Solana's infrastructure, Solana should be the best place to trade any sort of Solana-based tokens. There's no reason for centralized exchanges when you have central limit order books and AMMs and all these other price discovery and liquidity mechanisms on chain.
Right. This is
And then the third piece
interesting.
is
Yeah.
tokenomics and governance. And
Right.
that's one we're seeing a lot of interest in right now from, you know, because even if you've already launched a token or have liquidity, a lot of people want transparent on-chain tokenomics. They haven't invested in DAO infrastructure and things like that. And so we're seeing a lot of existing teams reach out to us for knowledge and understanding of setting up their own tokenomics and governance infrastructure on chain.
Yeah, that is what I was about to say, actually. You know, as somebody who's been on the other side as a founder, you know, that this entire token aspect is like a full-time job, and you need to monitor and manage so many parts that it can be very, very daunting. So it's more props to you guys for creating a platform that can really help founders.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, we're definitely seeing the traction, and you know, we felt that pain point ourselves. So,
Yeah.
the more we don't have Solana teams or just Web3 teams in general burning money, reinventing the wheel, the more efficient, you know, our systems will be, the better the products will be.
So, are there any plans to, you know, get this product to go beyond the Solana ecosystem into other chains as well?
Yeah, we're definitely evaluating a multi-chain play here, but
Okay.
I think on the there's a lot of infrastructure that is very technically challenging, and it's not, you know, this would all be stuff that we would have to custom build on each chain we went to.
Right.
And so, you know, we can help with the ideal tokenomics and governance like modeling stuff. Or we have a few partners that will help with tokenomics modeling and token launching mechanisms. And then we would help build that out on a case-by-case basis if the opportunity is large enough. So we are definitely evaluating a multi-chain future here, but we're just finishing up a few core pieces of Solana infrastructure in Q1 and seeing where that plays out.
That makes sense. It's always sort of sensible to weigh these things out because, as you said, you know, you'll need to create something for every chain from the ground up, and that itself is a lot of work. So getting the foundation right is important here.
Yes, exactly.
So how does Armada contribute to SyFi's mission of generating sustainable yield for users?
So Armada is going to be powering all of SyFi's actual tokenomics and governance.
Okay.
so SyFi will be dogfooding all of the Armada infrastructure to start. We're going to be releasing probably by the end of January 2024. Releasing some updates on staking and governance for the SyFi DAO and ecosystem. And then how the actual Armada and SyFi brands and you know tokenomics models play together. Like we're not sure if Armada is going to have a token or not. We're like just trying to find product market fit and solve these problems before we figure out how all these pieces come together on chain. So we're just gonna, you know, things are gonna change and be very dynamic as we go forward with how these ecosystems play together.
Yeah, absolutely. Like that happens, right? Because the space is so dynamic, things keep changing. You'll have to see how that kind of plays out. So, is Armada right now open for all users? Like anybody can go and sign up and use the services?
Yeah, so there's a few things that are, you know, it's a B2B and a B2C approach if you want
Right.
to take kind of consumer models. So there's, you know, only it's really, it makes sense for teams, you know, if they're launching tokens or people who want to launch tokens to use that token launching infrastructure. It makes sense for organizations, DAOs, or teams for using the tokenomics or governance infrastructure, right? That's not for just kind of everyday average community users. Those are people who are launching tokens or are big holders of tokens and trying to create tokenomics for their DAO or organization that they are a big part of. But on the liquidity side, that's where there's a everyday user component where people could just go to armadafi.so and interact with the pools, deposit assets, and delegate those assets to institutional market makers and provide liquidity. So there's also some liquidity mining infrastructure to that on-chain liquidity component. And so we'll see a lot more. We're just still in a very early phase working with
Right.
onboarding new market makers
Yeah.
and improving that infrastructure before we do a lot more consumer-facing marketing.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. I would assume that because primarily at its essence, this is something that'll be very, very attractive for the founders, and it'll be more of a B2B product, but obviously the liquidity mining aspect is consumer driven, and it would make sense to market it to consumers. Now, because right now we are in the middle of, not middle, perhaps the end of this particular bear run that we've had, in the this particular liquidity mining aspect of your product, do you reckon that you'll be pulling out this product and marketing it more aggressively in the bull market?
Oh, definitely. I think it makes a lot more sense.
Right.
There's a few other like strategies like that we've built in and haven't fully released yet
Okay.
that makes sense in the bull market. There's a few liquidity mining pieces that makes more sense in the bull market too. So it's just, yeah, without a doubt, things will be more aggressively marketed in the bull market. I think we're also seeing a lot of Solana teams are more interested in launching tokens. And so we really see the teams as this big top of the funnel participant in our ecosystem where we're delivering this infrastructure to these teams, and they're also, helping market these products to their community because it ultimately benefits the entire ecosystem, Armada, their community, and Solana in general.
Right, absolutely. So can you tell me a little more about the kind of milestones that SyFy has seen? Because as you mentioned, you've been using it for the last you've been building on it, sorry, for the last 3 years or so. So since its early days, it has grown quite a bit. What are the kind of bigger milestones or achievements that you're particularly proud of, fond of, that your team has achieved?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest one is in the last bull market, we hit over $100 million in TVL on
Oh.
just options.
Well.
Yeah, so that was a big one. But then, that was in a low interest rate environment. And so this bull market is slightly different. And where we have interest rates the highest they've been in the last so many years, the risk reward profile for people looking for volatility-based yield has changed given this risk-free rate or pretty much risk-free rate of return. And so that's kind of why we've expanded outside of just option selling vaults and short volatility products, and we've gone into the borrow lending and have built a new options AMM so people can run more robust strategies that fit their needs. And so I'm really excited about some of the work that our team, our partner team in Singapore has been doing on an options AMM called SDX. And that's going to play, it's using the SyFy infrastructure and is going to play a role in the ecosystem. So there's definitely a lot of stuff that we've been building over the last 10 months with Armada, SDX, and SyFy that will be coming, full circle, hopefully in the next quarter or two.
Wow, that sounds brilliant, absolutely. So, in terms of just what is perhaps the next big milestones you guys are looking forward to, that is something that I would be very interested in knowing for Sci-Fi as well as for Armada.
Yeah, so for sci-fi, I mean the biggest one that I'm excited is all this governance infrastructure and work. So for the longest time in the Solana ecosystem, you've had to make a decision, do I stake my tokens or do I participate in governance? There's been no way to participate in governance and get staking rewards. And so we're pushing an update by the end of this month for staking and governance with the sci-fi ecosystem. So that one's been a lot of planning, and there's just so much work when you.
Right. So in terms of the bigger milestones you've mentioned, given your the niche that you're building in, basically it's automation of trading strategies, which is a notable feature in sci-fi. How is it streamlining the user experience? And if you could tell us a little more about the open source financial tools that you guys are building, so that the listeners can get a overview of these products and they would perhaps go on and try to use them. If you could tell us a little about that would be wonderful.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's just start with options. I mean, they're extremely complex financial products, right? So, a call option, for those who don't know, in the simplest terms, is if you buy a call option, it's giving you the right, but not the obligation, to buy a asset at a specified price at or before, for an American style option, a specific expiration date. And then selling an option is basically underwriting and locking up, if you're collateralizing it, locking up those assets and selling that option or that right but not obligation to someone else in return for some premium. And so these, it's a very complex product for those who have never really messed with options. Or and so the sci-fi strategies will automate selling options, whether it's selling calls, selling puts, and vertical spreads, and different combinations of one or two options, to give different risk and reward profiles and different amounts of leverage. And it will, create that two-sided marketplace for buying and selling and running those automated strategies. So, they're very complex products. And so, for those who don't know how to use them, these automated strategies allow users to kind of just deposit assets and participate in a regularly running strategy without rolling or managing those positions themselves, without evaluating, the
The market is
volatility of an
everywhere.
underlying asset. Yeah, exactly. Determining whether what delta their option should be, and all these other complex metrics that go into determining, well, what should I price this at? What should the strike price be? When should I roll it, et cetera? So, yeah.
Though, you keep mentioning obviously options are complicated as a product, and not everybody would perhaps be comfortable using them. Do you also create like educational material so that people can get to know how to perhaps get in this game?
Yeah, we have education materials on the actual like strategies in the on the website on sci-fi.io, as well as the docs, which are docs.sci-fi.io. And then the other, like if you're just trying to understand options or, really develop an understanding of these more complex financial products, Robinhood has an incredible options knowledge center. And so we kind of tend to point people there. They were a big part of the options craze a couple of years ago, and they taught a lot of people, and a lot of people traded their first options on Robinhood. So their material is great.
Absolutely. I think Robinhood does have one of the more comprehensive educational material and options. And if somebody is perhaps looking to get into this game, I would also highly recommend that you go check out that material before you get your hands dirty, because like Tommy mentioned, it can be a very, very complicated tool. And for the unversed especially, then it's better to make sure that you know what you're getting into, because this is ultimately your hard-earned money that is at stake.
Exactly.
So what kind of considerations go into perhaps creating something that is user-friendly, when it comes to these refi products? This is one of the complaints that we hear from people all the time, that these products are just complicated to use, and even just the experience itself is very complicated. So how have you been able to perhaps make this a little more approachable?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at, and it's hard to look at right now, but where we originally started with psioptions.io and these trading of these options, we realized it was extremely hard, not just from a Web3 perspective, but a general financial perspective. Very hard for users to understand the product when they're given all these different decisions that they need to make. And so that's where kind of abstracting the complexity of the product of Web3 and of the financial product is, pretty important and is what creates that accessibility. And then those more sophisticated, giving the tools to the more sophisticated users to have the flexibility to create their own structures is also very important. But I think that's where we've seen a lot of time spent is just abstracting the complexities away from the financial product itself as well.
Right.
There's always going to be barriers to entry on Web3 with on and off ramps, and from a user starting from scratch, that's definitely hard. But there's a lot of other teams and groups working on that education.
Absolutely. So, now given though your focus on protocol development, let's like take a more macro view. And could you share some perhaps insights into the Solana ecosystem, like building of the Solana ecosystem? Do you see any unique advantages or unique challenges perhaps while working on this and working on the ecosystem as a whole?
Are you asking relative to other ecosystems or
Yeah.
just in general?
Relative to other ecosystems, because you mentioned that you've tried your hand with other ecosystems as well.
I think if you asked me this 2 months ago, I probably would give you a different response. 2 months ago, Solana was kind of everyone was always asking, why are you building on Solana? Like, if we were recording this podcast 2 months ago, I guarantee you would have been like, are you still building on
Yeah,
Solana? Why?
probably. Yeah.
But now that we're recording, January 4th, after, a crazy five times or six times like price change, and there's just very clearly more people coming into this ecosystem when you compare the actually, I just read yesterday that Solana surpassed Ethereum for number of Google searches and Google search trend.
Right.
So I think like now the answer now is more of just the disadvantage would be competition. As we go into this bull market again, there's going to be lots of people that are forking different open source protocols and trying to compete. And but I think those larger groups that have been building for a few years and have good ecosystem partnerships are, it's going to be a lot harder to overtake this time around. But so I think, I think there's not a lot of cons right now with Solana. I think a lot there's some big partnerships and some institutions coming in. That's why I think Solana, if you're looking for a place to build, Solana's still my go-to answer.
Right. So in terms of again, what is okay, let's move to the community aspect of things, because you're building on both the sides. You're building for an ecosystem, you're also building a platform, you're building for B2B as well as B2C. So a lot of builders that get started off in Web3, they're not able to understand the craze behind the community aspect, which is so big in Web3. And they find it difficult to get started with the community and perhaps make it engaging and make it the one that is involved with the product itself. What would be your advice to these founders, and how do you make a good community?
Yeah, honestly, I gotta be transparent and say community is my weakest, my weakest skill set. I am a technical founder and have tried to learn a lot more about community management and growing a community and getting an engaged community. And I would say we're still trying to figure it out from our organization's standpoint. I think a lot of people want, good roadmap and want to, like, if people want to get involved, they need clarity on what they're getting involved in.
Right.
And so you need a good roadmap. You need, good documentation. And then you need just clear instructions on how people can get involved and how they should get involved. But again, like, that's a lot easier said than done. But it's really just about clarity and transparency. what you're looking for in the community. You're going to get a lot of people in the community that promise to help out and want to help out, and then, you know, when push comes to shove, they don't do anything or they leave. So, especially in the bull market, you'll get a lot of noise in the community.
Absolutely. I think in the bear run or where we are right now in the market, there will be folks who join, but the challenge is how do you engage and make the community a highly engaged one? That becomes a bit of a challenge as well, because a lot of the perception that the users come with, as well as founders, financial incentive is very big, right? In growing a community, which is not perhaps the most sustainable way to have like a engaged community.
It's a tough balance.
Yeah, it has to be. It's a thin rope that you need to perhaps balance on. And I think creating a community and having an engaged community, even though it's very, very important, but it can be troublesome getting to a point where the community is actually actively contributing in a positive manner to your project.
Yeah, and it can be distracting if you're spending a lot of time on community and they're not really helping the platform or helping the grow the community or whatever the goals are. Then it's actually just becomes a waste of time. And I remember in the bull market of 2021, when we were first getting started, I made the assumption that, you know, this needed to be very decentralized and community is going to be, you know, contributing in meaningful ways, whether that's to code, to marketing, to whatever.
Yeah, in an ideal world it would be, but that's just not how it plays out in the real world.
It's just not the case. And it just took so much time away from product and engineering and other aspects of the organization that need to come first before community. And so that's where that, you know, taking the time to put together the roadmap from a product perspective and the documentation from a community perspective of where they can contribute and how, and really thinking through what is the purpose of this organization? What is the purpose of this community? Is extremely important because it's going to be different. Like the community for a meme token is very different for a community of a complex DeFi or, you know, financial product.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is very, very true. Two words have not been spoken. Depending on the kind of project you have, your community will look very, very different. And I'm so glad that you were honest here, that at times the community can be distracting, and that itself, it cannot be the highest priority. The product has to be the highest priority. You get something that works, and then automatically I think a lot of things get sorted.
I totally agree.
So how do because you've mentioned that, okay, community building perhaps is not your strongest suit, and you have other folks in the team who would perhaps be doing that. But are there any active initiatives that you guys have taken to engage with the community or to get community feedback?
Right now we're doing a lot more like ecosystem partnerships with like the B2B side and a lot more like one-on-one like outreach for traders and whales and things like that. I think we see a lot of if you get good flow from institutions, from whales, from teams, and good support from those groups, the initial community tends to follow. And so I think we're spending more time doing starting to ramp up like Twitter Spaces again. And we've, you know, through the bear and now this potential pull, we're, you know, spending more time doing one-on-one BD and outreach, working with family offices or things, you know, groups like that. Because if you build a product for them, you can make it easy to understand, you know, you can slowly start getting retail participation as well once they see, you know, institutions and family offices putting 7, 8 figures into a product, then there's trust built in there and whatnot. So we've been spending a lot more time on those one-on-ones. And that's our take right now.
And that is a good way to do about it. I think, as you said, then the community follows when it sees all these positive signals. So are there any collaborations or partnerships that you've talked about, B2B partners, that you are particularly excited about?
Yeah, actually a few. where Bonk announced this like a month ago that Armada is going to be powering their tokenomics and governance. And so we've been doing some alpha testing with them that should be launched sometime in the next month or so, if not sooner. We are working with another group that is a big Solana player that doesn't have a token, wants to launch a token, unfortunately signed some NDAs and probably can't really name drop them at the moment. But there's a bunch of groups. I mean, there's a few groups that we're working with on the tokenomics and governance side that are existing blue chips that are doing a lot more tokenomics and governance stuff. There's Hero Network,
Okay.
Pepper Dex, Flowmatic, Metaplex is discussing revamping some of their governance infrastructure. So there's a lot of exciting partnerships coming out in Q1.
Wow, brilliant. That is again a very positive signal, and I think like you mentioned, the community follows when there are positive signals around the product and the platform. It just creates a layer of credibility, an additional layer, and that always helps.
Yes, exactly.
So because you've been working in DeFi for some time, what do you think is going to be the next big thing according to you in the DeFi space?
That is a great question. I think we're going to see a lot more. I mean, for the Solana ecosystem specifically, we're going to see a lot more token launches.
Okay.
But that's not going to be like the big product. I think the big thing that we're seeing is more transparency of tokenomics and governance. A lot of early governance infrastructure, right? You have these tokens and participate in this community, but what does the token actually get you? How decentralized is this community? And things like that, right? So what are you actually control? What is the community actually controlling versus like a core team or contributing members? So I think, and this is obviously why we've spent so much time on Armada, but I think we made the bet 11 months ago that a lot of people are going to want transparent governance and transparent tokenomics and have these things be all on chain and autonomous, where there's not central parties that are actually controlling and dictating, what happens in an organization or community.
Right. So in terms of the market at large on a macro level, what are the niches apart from DeFi do you think that would do really well in the next upcoming bull market?
That is a great question. I think like I like playing video games, so I'm a gamer. But
Right.
I in the last bull market, I would have said gaming and whatnot and blockchain-backed gaming. But I think we're realizing that they're not the games need to be fun first and foremost. And there's just to build a quality game, it's a lot longer of a development cycle. And so I think that's been kind of a letdown and kind of called that one wrong. But so I'm not going to say gaming this time around. I really think like cross-border payments and more infrastructure that underpins not just decentralized finance or like but just kind of traditional finance and just the global economy. I think that's still going to be a big piece. I mean, we see that in a high interest rate environment, a low interest rate environment, that stuff is always extremely useful and vital. I mean, look at Visa talking to Solana, and I'm not sure where the latest update on that is, but if they're going to be using some of Solana's infrastructure, that's a big
A
nod
big, yeah.
to payments and transfers.
So cross-border payments and infrastructure, these are the niches you feel would do splendidly well in the next bull run.
Yes.
Okay, so now coming to a few fun questions before we wrap this up. Actually, the one that I had about getting a sneak peek into your development space is something that I would still ask you, perhaps, even though you answered it in parts. What is like a unique feature of the way your team or you approach features and a development? Like, how do you decide which feature should go first?
That's a great question. We focus a lot more on like customer or consumer or user requested features. So I'll have, let's just give an example. Like I have an idea of, hey, I really want this. I think I want this feature. I think people would want this feature. I would use this feature occasionally, but I think users would. But then some of the team will be like, okay, that's just you. Let's put it on the board. Open up a ticket for it, but then let's either go and ask people about it if we really feel that strongly, or wait until someone else asks about it. And so we've had a few times where we have these hypotheses about a feature, and then eventually a month, month and a half later, a week, whatever, someone asks for it. And then we're like, okay, as long as one, especially in the B2B side, if one person's asking for it and they're an early adopter, then like it's you're going to jump the priority on that ticket.
That becomes a
So
great, big greatest green signal, right? That
exactly.
should be working on that.
Yeah. But so that's since we've been, we've been in the space a while and we have connections and dialogues with customers or users. That's how we do it. And I think that's why it's extremely important to focus on the one-on-one conversations. If you have a broad community in a Discord or a Telegram, and it's pretty hard to filter out the noise and get product feedback. A
That's
lot of
true.
those people might not be just like providing product feedback. Some are. It really depends on the type of community and the member and whatnot. But that's why those one-on-one conversations are extremely important, and you can't really replace those.
Absolutely, I totally agree. So now to another, hypothetical question. If you had to put in three concepts or three ideas in a time capsule, to do with Web3, for the future generations to find, or perhaps to be open in the next decade, which will be the three ideas or concepts that you'll put in that time capsule that you feel will stand the test of time?
Oh man. I mean, one that's not even like it's more of a concept is just about how crypto and just DeFi as well as governance, they are all these extremely public and fast-paced experiments of bigger systems that we have in our everyday life. And so it, being able to condense the understanding and knowledge of how governance works and relating that to governance in a local a local domicile or even in a large a country or something like that, and relating governance to how that works, and talking about currencies and what happens when an organization issues a currency, and relating that to the Fed and the central bank and the United States dollar at being the global reserve currency, and how that affects the economy, and how crypto is just such a public and fast-paced arena for learning and understanding these things, and things that have learned took a long time, hundreds of years to learn and develop in the traditional space. I think just you learn them very quickly when you just dive into crypto and whatnot. And so I don't know how to put that into a capsule, but condensing that knowledge, I mean, it's been pretty valuable and would stand the test of time, because there's a lot of things that crypto has done, Web3 has done, that where mistakes were made, and those mistakes were made in traditional finance, a while ago. But in crypto, it's a much more public arena, so a lot more people are seeing and learning that. And then thinking about the next iteration and how to improve on those. So it's, I don't know. That's what I love about crypto, really, is just the fast-paced nature, how open it is, and how everyone can learn, and think critically to improve systems and infrastructure.
Yeah, we're still so early, right? There is so much to be done. And the beauty of the space is that you have to continuously evolve and grow and adapt, because there are so many new ideas and everybody all over the world is kind of involved in this industry. And that is what makes it, I think, the most perhaps exciting industry to be in at the moment.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So now, we kind of have to wrap up, and but I won't let you go without asking you this particular question. This is something I ask everybody who comes on the show. You've been an electrical engineer, and you were in the Web2 space. You moved to the Web3 space after seeing the allure of the technology. If you come across somebody and you had to give advice to someone who's perhaps dealing with the same dilemma, what would be your advice to them to start living on blockchain?
Just jump in. You don't have to. You don't have to make a drastic change. I started just part time tinkering. And when I say jump in, I don't mean quit your job and jump in. I mean just start reading up on it. Start developing on it. Just come up with a project and hack around. I worked a full time job while building the original, PsiOptions and entering hackathons and all that kind of stuff. And so it was just part-time for fun. And then you never know where it's going to take you. So, the advice is just dive in and get started and hack around.
Absolutely. I think that's good advice. I feel like this is something that I keep telling people as well, that if you're curious, go ahead and do a little bit of reading up, learn a little about it, but don't just get caught in the learning and the reading. You'll have to actively get your hands dirty and tinker with the technology a little bit for you to really make anything of it. Because again, because the space is very dynamic, there's innumerable stuff that you can read and imbibe and concepts that you can learn. And every day there is a new thing.
Yeah, exactly. So, and learn by doing, right? Like, don't get caught in just learning, but like, learn a little bit, but do a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. That's just good advice. Great advice. Okay, so thank you so much, Tommy, for taking out the time to speak to me. Before we wrap this up, any parting thoughts? Anything that you would like our listeners to know?
Check out the Solana ecosystem. Check out our modify.so. We have a lot of interesting stuff coming out on the on-chain piece for different members of different communities and whatnot. So a lot of exciting stuff.
Absolutely. I think our listeners will be very keen and very interested in checking out SyFy or Armada as well as the Solana ecosystem as a whole. All the best, Tommy. Thank you so much for making the time to speak to me today.
Thanks so much for having me.